about.
You got to put it in perspective.
Hey, what up, Council? My name is Chad Kroger. First, I just want to say I'm truly honored to be here, to be in a city where you can have a surf session and then go to a city council meeting within the span of an hour. I think that just shows that the American dream is still very much alive. So thank you.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Believe in this project because it's kind of a captive audience. It's also a sexy audience.
All they could say is, hey, you took a nap, and that was bad. And
I didn't mean to offend anyone by taking that nap.
Michael Jordan took naps, Abraham Lincoln took naps, and I'm in trouble for napping.
Are you excited for your party?
Not one bit.
And now, I had to have you decapitated and buried in a f***ing desert, you sweaty four-eyed ape. They won't even mark your grave with an axe. And now I don't notice you're gone.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday, the 2nd of April.
Good morning.
How was the weekend?
It was, well, we did the same thing.
Right.
It was good. Okay. Wasn't sure if you forgot. Like we had April Foolishness.
We had April Foolishness, yeah.
It was good.
I thought it was really fun. That was really a good time.
Yeah.
April Foolishness.
Absolutely.
And a lot of really, really nice people.
Yeah.
And we were taking pictures at one point with mm-hmm. Allie, and then Allie left, and then that's all anyone cared about. Hey, where's Allie?
Oh, lies.
No, I'm not lying.
These are lies,
I'm not
people.
Lying. I was like, she was just here a minute ago. She'll be back.
I got switched out for a bit. I mean, those lights are hot, and I am made of wax.
A lot of people
don't
know that.
You'll notice in a lot of those pictures. There are some pictures, Kevin. Good Lord.
I mean, you're talking to the king of that, though. I mean, I take bad pictures every single day.
But there is one picture of us that we'll have to talk about later. I mean, you, beer mug, and me.
We all look terrible.
We couldn't have ruined this guy's picture harder if we tried.
I mean, it does look like we're trying to actively ruin the picture. That's true.
It's a good time.
It does seem like that.
And we need to talk about who we met in the picture line.
Who we met in the picture
Jalapeno
line.
Business!
Oh,
we met
right.
his parents. We need to talk about that later.
Totally forgot about that. Oh. The best.
It was like the highlight of my night. Is that weird?
Yes. As there were many stand-up comedians,
that
it's a little
amazing.
Weird.
Amazing.
They were all amazing.
Yeah.
Full recap of April Foolishness coming up. First, woman arrested after raunchy come-on-to-Easter bunny.
Oh.
Right?
I mean.
A trip to Richland Carousel Park in Mansfield is like taking a step back to a simpler time when life moved at a slower pace.
We focus on the children. That is our main focus, is to provide a good time for children and for families.
Now, when they set it up like that,
yeah,
you know that whatever happened is just the opposite of what their intention was.
But before we even get to it, have you ever seen an Easter bunny, like, just rocking that pastel bow tie? Sometimes he's wearing, like, a vest. You know what I'm saying?
No, I don't.
I'm just saying, like, if that's what you're into... Bring on Easter.
Yes.
Well,
right? Check out these eggs, is what I'm saying.
I'm not sure what you're saying still.
Me neither.
Yes. All right, more of the story. Now it turns, of course.
The operators of Carousel Park thought they had a nice promotion to get families through the turnstiles on Saturday. A chance to pose for photos with the Easter bunny. But keep an eye on 54-year-old LaDonna Hewitt of Mansfield.
Yeah, she is liquored up pretty good.
Okay.
And she jumps on the Easter bunny.
Okay.
And starts grinding.
Oh, no.
And trying to make out.
Oh, okay.
And grabbing.
Oh.
Yeah.
According to witnesses, Hewitt was drunk, grabbed the person in the rabbit costume in what they call inappropriate ways, and made lewd comments. All in full view and within earshot of families at the indoor park.
I mean, I don't feel like that's what you want.
Not when you're bringing, you know, your four-year-old right. to sit on the bunny's lap.
All of the parents are like, hey, look over there. It's something else.
One of the witnesses decided to call Mansfield Police.
So we received a report from a citizen, an unusual report from a citizen that...
Now, notice the disappointment in the officer's voice.
Mm-hmm. Called us to the Richland Carousel Park of a intoxicated female... doing some lewd acts on the Easter Bunny.
I mean, you don't hear that every day.
Lewd acts.
on the Easter Bunny.
I hate it so much.
I love it so much. Ludax on the Easter Bunny.
Witnesses say LaDonna Hewitt seemed oblivious to how inappropriate her behavior was in a family setting.
As soon as you think you hear it all, and this obviously this report puts it up to the top where I've never heard of somebody performing those type of acts on the Easter Bunny. And, right. You know, obviously the environment at the Carousel Park is family-oriented, and obviously we wouldn't recommend anybody intoxicated to go there.
Witnesses say LaDonna Hewitt compounded her trouble.
How did she compound her trouble?
Oh, no. I'm hoping that she resisted arrest. That's how she compounded
it. Oh, no, the police aren't there yet.
Oh,
how did she compound
it? Oh, no.
Police are on their way.
Something about a carrot?
When she then decided to write...
Way worse!
Oh,
how
no.
do you pick something way worse? Nicely done.
When she then decided to ride a horse on the carousel here in Mansfield. When Mansfield police officers arrived, Hewitt was still on the carousel.
Okay, she's on the carousel.
Oh, she's naked, isn't she?
Well,
started stripping.
I mean, they don't say specifically, but they do use the word lewd a lot.
Oh, no.
Witnesses reported she was acting in a way that can only be described as lewd.
I mean, is that taking clothes off? Or
she might have been like
grinding.
You know how there's a pole that
yeah,
connects?
Sure.
She might have been simulating.
Sure.
Stuff.
I mean, it sounds like she could have just walked home and been fine because it was taking the police forever to get there. But
it
she
seems,
got on the
yeah.
carousel and she would not get off. She really,
well,
she was riding that horse.
Yeah,
you know
she
what
might have. Okay.
Officers say the 54-year-old Hewitt had slurred speech, bloodshot eyes, was unsteady on her feet, and her breath smelled of alcohol.
Hey, me too. That doesn't mean
I
you're guilty.
I was going to say, that's Kevin every day.
How dare you?
She was arrested for public drunkenness.
Arrested for public drunkenness. It was Saturday. I mean, it wasn't technically Easter.
Right.
But it was a, you know, pretty public thing.
Obviously, don't go to a family function intoxicated. You'll
good tip.
Do some things that obviously you'll regret in the morning.
That's a good tip.
I mean, that's an awful tip. Don't go to, like, a family place like that. Sure, intoxicated. But family functions?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely go
absolutely
intoxicated.
Go intoxicated. Okay.
I don't know what he's talking about.
Okay.
But so, locations like that where there's strangers?
Right.
No.
Keep it under control.
Yes, but like, you know, first communions.
Sure.
Bat mitzvahs.
That's when you go crazy.
That's when you get loaded.
And it's all cool.
Yeah.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Another one?
Yes. Yes, another one. Adam Carolla joins us today. Love the Ace Man. We're going to take a look at great news. We have Luc Robitaille from the LA Kings. It's a weird thing in hockey where they have a backup goalie, and I've never heard of any other sport that has this.
Mm-hmm.
It's a backup goalie. Every team has to have it. He can go in for either team, and he just shows up at the game, and I don't know how many times it's happened where he's needed.
Yeah.
But the Blackhawks called him into action. He stopped 7 goals. He's an accountant.
Unbelievable.
Dude's an accountant.
Yeah, you literally need to show up at every game and just sit there in case they need you, which
I do anyway.
Exactly. You could totally be the backup.
In case they put me in. This guy played. It's such a bizarre thing.
That's
I can't
amazing.
Imagine the NBA or the NFL or Major League Baseball where you go, all right, dude, second base. Go ahead. Good luck.
Yeah. The NBA would be the best, though. There's just like a 5'3" white guy just eating popcorn.
With
oh,
glasses
me now?
And accountant.
Okay, let's go.
Gets hit in the head with the ball. Glasses crush. We also have April Foolishness recap, like we said, including we're going to talk to the opening act, Daniel Weingart, who's great.
Wow.
He was
great. So poised.
Matt Money Smith talking Final Four, and we're going to talk to Harvey Levin from TMZ like we do. Plus, all this week, it's our countdown to Coachella. So listen for your chance to win a pair of sold-out 3-day passes to weekend one of Coachella coming up this morning. We'll take a break. We'll come back with what's happening. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54. Allie McKay is here to take a look at what's happening.
Oh, were you too busy to see any movies over the weekend?
I saw one movie.
May I guess?
Mm-hmm.
God's Not Dead 3.
Yes.
Yes.
How did you guess?
I knew.
That's
I
crazy.
Knew. I knew.
I saw Ready Player One.
I thought you might have.
Yeah.
Thought you might have. Well, a lot of other people did too. Because it was number one at the box office with $41.2 million. How was it?
It was great.
To, other you know, VR movies.
It was the first one that you could actually buy, like sort of buy into the storyline, right, because it was real enough. And the special effects were amazing.
Yeah.
And the music you would love, all from the 80s.
Love it.
I mean, it was really, really inventive and fun to watch. And I sort of feel like there were so many references and stuff going by that I need to go, you know,
watch it again.
Maybe three or five times more than most people, just to make sure that I get all the references, because there's right. a lot that gets thrown in there. And yeah. it's really good.
Mr. Movie Phone Man mm-hmm. said that he didn't get to know the characters as much as he would like to.
I sort of thought that I got to know them more than an average movie like this.
Oh, really?
Most of the time, if the special effects are the star,
uh-huh.
you don't really care about the characters. They don't.
Right.
They're not able to do both.
Okay.
But this one, I sort of was surprised, and maybe it's because he told me that, but I was yeah. sort of surprised that you could get behind the main character, you could get behind his partner, you could get behind his whole team of five. I mean, it was...
I mean, I don't know what theater you saw this in, but, oh, even your bell's not working.
There we go. Okay.
So you were just getting behind everyone.
Yeah, it was great.
Okay.
I loved it.
All right. Excellent. Well,
but I'm also easier to please.
That's true.
Than most.
Yeah, that is true. So. But I've heard great things about this movie.
What is it about Kevin that makes you love him?
He's so simple.
I mean, right there. That lady is not wrong. So number one, Ready Player One, followed by the debut of Acrimony, $17.1 million. That's Taraji P. Henson going a bit bonkers.
Love it.
Yeah, those previews are nuts. Followed by Black Panther, another $11.3 million. Coming in at number four, I Can Only Imagine, five, Pacific Rim Uprising, six, Sherlock Gnomes, seven, Love, Simon, eight, Tomb Raider, nine, A Wrinkle in Time, and then a tie at, I guess, 10, Paul, Apostle of God, Paul, Apostle of Christ, and then Isle of Dogs. They have that 11 and 12. None of this makes sense. We'll talk about it later, but Isle of Dogs, only $2.8 million.
Wow.
Ooh. Yeesh. Woof. Right? I won't do that again. That was...
not cool.
Not cool.
Not cool.
Not cool at all. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We now know who's going to be bringing them in. We had heard that possibly Howard Stern was going to welcome Bon Jovi into the hall.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't really mentioned that again. However, Brandon Flowers, bringing in the Cars.
Oh, that's pretty
I love
sweet.
That so much. I have heard him talk about the Cars and what a huge influence they were on him growing up. So that is, how incredible is that?
That's pretty sweet, yeah.
You're Brandon Flowers, you love the Cars your whole life, and then the Hall of Fame is like, hey, feel like inducting them? No big deal. That's pretty much the greatest thing ever.
Yeah, that is cool.
Ann Wilson of Heart is going to do the honors for the Moody Blues. Alabama Shake singer Brittany Howard is going to induct Sister Rosetta Tharpe. And Nina Simone will be brought in by Mary J. Mother Effin Blige. I am down for this.
That sounds
Rock
cool.
and Roll Hall of Fame. That's real, real good. It happens April 15th in Cleveland, and then HBO is going to air the ceremony on May the 5th. That's Cinco de Mayo.
It is, yes.
For our Spanish-speaking audience. Just thought I'd help you out there.
Also for our English-speaking audience.
No.
Okay.
Nope. Just...
I think people know Cinco de Mayo.
Really?
Because of previous years.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Did not know that. All right. Word broke on Friday that CBS TV streaming service All Access is going to pick up a 10-episode series based on Stephen King's classic post-apocalyptic novel, The Stand. The novel is about what happens to society after a mutated flu virus kills 99% of humanity in the span of a few weeks. Society is broken into two groups, one led by a benevolent 108-year-old woman named Mother Abigail, and another group led by Randall Flagg, a demonic supernatural figure who wants to spread chaos. Okay, I'm in.
I'm in.
I'll access the heck out of that if someone gives me their password. Sounds really, really good. Do we need this? A new TV series based on the 1992 film A League of Their Own? Remember that? Tom
yeah.
Hanks, Rosie O'Donnell.
Did Gina you say
Davis.
Series?
A TV series, yeah. It's going to be all about the All-American Girls Professional Baseball League, and it's going to be about the Rockford Peaches. Same league, so no word on anything else, but, huh.
Depends on how they do it, just like everything else, I think.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Who's
Absolutely.
Involved? Who's the star? Who directs?
And why is Mandy Moore better than all of us?
I mean, most people are better than all of us.
That is true.
But
the This Is Us star revealed on Instagram that she climbed Mount Kilimanjaro.
Drama queen.
She is not. She is lovely. That's I mean, a little bit on the show. She has dreamed about it since she was 18 and says that reaching the peak was, quote, more emotional and overwhelming than I thought possible.
Why?
Well, I think people just have this idea of, you know what, it's something I don't know if I can achieve. Let me see if I can put my mind and body to it.
It's the challenge of it.
It's the challenge of it.
Why?
Because that's what life is all about. You set up different hurdles, hoping you can get over them, and then you feel like you've accomplished something.
Why?
Well, again, I just told you. However, what do you do once you get up there? Are you like,
I'm here. Here I am.
Made it. Instagram pic. Awesome.
Probably Instagram pic is what that's what everything is for now. So
absolutely.
Why?
Well, it's just become a big social tool. That's it. Speaking of social tools, happy birthday. None of these people are. But actor Michael Fassbender, actress Bethany Joy Lenz, actor Clark Gregg, and Christopher Maloney. And that's what's happening.
So listen to K-Rock all week for your chance to win, as it's already the countdown to Coachella.
Oh, that seems early, but I guess it's not.
A week from Friday, is that right?
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. That's crazy.
Snuck up.
We've got 3-day passes for you coming up here on the world-famous K-Rock. First, on Monday mornings, we like to check in with Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. Good morning, Harvey. How are you today?
I'm good, guys. How you doing?
Very good. Thank you. Which story do you want to start with? Because Stan Lee's Blood Pens is my favorite.
Well, it's really insane. So Stan Lee has a former business associate. This sounds like he's on the verge of being a vampire. He literally sucked the blood out of Stan Lee's body.
Now, wait, let me just back up a second. Is this guy, his business associate, is this part of all of Stan Lee's money issues?
Yes.
It is? Okay.
Yes. It's the guy who allegedly pilfered like $300,000 from him.
For the condo?
Bought an $850,000 condo with his money. So here's what happened. The guy, this is the allegation, he goes to Stan's nurse, his personal nurse, back in October, and he has a forged document, according to Stan and his people, that gives him authority to order a blood sample. The nurse fills like several vials and takes a lot of blood, enough to make him dizzy. So they find out, they say, that this guy was filling pens with Stan Lee's blood and was going to sell the pens, because here you got this guy, you know, this Marvel legend, you know, with Black Panther ties from, you know, this incredible movie and all. So, you know, the allegation is that this guy thought Stan Lee's blood in a pen would draw, you know, a ton of money.
So he could literally write with Stan Lee's blood? That's his idea?
I can't tell you whether the pen functioned that way.
Okay.
But that seems to be the intimation, yes.
Huh.
Wow. It's so sad that somebody like Stan Lee, who's had a lifetime of amazing work, surrounded himself, it sounds like, especially this person, with a terrible human being.
Well, you know, if this is true, the worst.
Yeah. That's awful.
That is crazy. Wow.
And, you know, and you think about it, and you hear these stories about elder abuse, and you think, God, you know, how Stanley's a sophisticated, you know, incredibly intelligent guy.
Right.
And, you know, it's
still super sharp.
A lot of people are vulnerable, you know, when they get older.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, if this could happen to Stan Lee.
Exactly.
It could happen
exactly.
to anyone.
Exactly.
That's so sad.
All right, let's move on to the next story. It's Donald Trump spending $20,000, $27,000.
Well, this is my favorite story.
Okay, go ahead.
So, we check these federal procurement documents regularly to see what the government's spending money on, if there's anything interesting. So on Friday, one of our producers finds an entry for a little more than $27,000, and it's to monitor media reports. That's all it says. And
okay.
It's ordered by the Executive Office of the President, and it was on March 7th, okay?
Okay.
Guess what happened on March 6th?
It could be so many things.
Well, okay. I'll
something President Trump needed to keep an eye on.
That is the day Stormy Daniels sued Trump, trying to invalidate the confidentiality agreement so she could talk about her having sex with him. And the next day, they the office of the president, and this was an exceptional amount of money. They normally, you know, when this company gets commissioned, it's usually like $1,000, $3,000, $4,000. This was $27,000.
And what's it
for? Monitor reports.
Just to monitor all social media and all TV and all
everything.
Written, everything.
Well,
just,
I wish I could be more specific.
You don't know.
But we have been calling the White House and this company for 3 days now, and radio silence. Nobody will get back to us and say, is this to monitor Stormy Daniels? The timing is really suspicious.
I would say so, but, yeah.
Yeah, but my God.
But they don't technically ever have to answer your question, right? I mean, he could do that if he wants to do that.
Well, I mean, we could do a freedom of information thing, but geez, I mean, come on.
I think the writing's on the wall for this one. Make your own assumption. But you got to figure, you know, he watches a lot of Fox News. They're not reporting on the Stormy Daniels stuff, so he has to find out what other people are saying, right?
Well, my guess is he is, you know, see, he watches Fox News for sure.
Right.
But he watches everything else as well.
That's my
how
point.
He knows. That's why he calls, you know, so many of the outlets fake news, because he watches them.
Why does he need to spend $27,000 to monitor when he does that himself?
On his own,
yes.
Right, for free. That's the best question. I know.
He seems to know absolutely everything that's being said about him, and this is maybe one of the reasons why. $27,000 in taxpayer money. That's craziness.
I just, you know, we're going to get to the bottom of this.
All right. Well, I hope you do, because that's a fascinating story. Harvey Levin every Monday morning at this time. You can follow him on Twitter at HarveyLevinTMZ. The website, of course, is TMZ.com. TMZ airs on Fox Channel 11 Monday to Friday at 6 p.m. TMZ Live Monday to Friday at 4 on Fox. And TMZ Sports airs Monday to Friday at midnight on Fox Sports 1. And, of course, the TMZ Tour as well, if you've got friends in town. Thank you, Harvey.
Okay, guys. We'll
Appreciate
see you next week.
Bye now. K-Rock Countdown to Coachella is on. A week from Friday. It's hard to imagine, but you get a pair of sold-out three-day passes to weekend one of Coachella, April 13th to 15th. Plus, you get exclusive access to the K-Rock Party House at Coachella, which is we have bands come by there and play, and it's a good time.
Yeah.
It's a good time.
Usually a fun setup with games.
Yep.
Big old toys.
Yep. Artists come by. They do interviews. It's great.
Kevin in the hot tub?
I mean, sometimes, sure. let's say good morning to Matt Money Smith. Hey, Matt.
What's happening?
How are you, man?
I am at least 10 pounds heavier from Easter brunch. I attack it with great vigor and enthusiasm, and I feel as though I accomplished my goal yesterday. I went undefeated in the season of attacking a buffet, if there were such a thing.
10 pounds in a day, though. Congrats.
Yeah, I know. It was impressive. It was waffles with whipped cream and syrup. It was
crab legs.
It was the end piece of a prime rib that I dosed. I mean, it was an impressive effort. I'm gonna have to pat myself on the back here.
Where were you?
I was at the fancy country club up the road from my house, the Old Ranch.
Oh, Lord.
Right.
It's the one time that the wife doesn't get upset that I belong to a golf club. I got to pay for it with my weight, so what the hell.
All right, what are you going to do?
Right.
Let's talk March Madness. Let's talk Loyola to begin with.
Okay. Yeah.
Sister Jean, just not strong enough, right?
I think I said it when I joined you guys last week, right? So kind of the deal with college basketball is it's really important to have the right coach. And I think I mentioned John Beilein, the head coach of Michigan, might be the best, at least one of the best. And I think you saw that happen in that game, kind of assessed what was going on in the first half. Went into halftime, came back, looked like a completely different Michigan team, and Loyola wasn't ready for it. And that's what happens, you know. I mean, you can kind of go so far, and they were a talented team, that's for certain, but not quite as talented as Michigan. And then that ultimately went out, and sadly, that story came to an end. They were certainly good enough. There's no question they were good enough to get to the final game today. I don't think it would have mattered based on how Villanova's playing, so we would have just kind of enjoyed Loyola for one more game. I don't think there was any way they were going to knock off this Villanova team that just looks like a juggernaut.
Is this the best Villanova team ever?
I think so. I mean, they're going to set some records in college basketball. You know, most wins. I think it's going to end up being 136 is what the number will be over a four-year span. They're going to win two out of three titles. I mean, there's a lot of guys that have been there for a few years, so these aren't one-and-dones that just come in, do their job, and Rick Brunson's kid, damn, I can't remember his first name now because I always call him Rick Brunson. yeah, I mean, they're really good players, and Jay Wright's a really, really good coach.
So the matchup tonight at 6:20 on TBS is Michigan-Villanova. Does Michigan have a chance, or is this going to be a dull kind of blowout?
No, they do. They do. Just like I said, nothing. I mean, Jay Wright is one of the – he's the head coach. He's the good-looking head coach.
Right.
Of the head coach of Michigan, John Beilein, looks kind of like the villain from Phantasm. So you can't get those two confused. But that's how I'm describing them. But, yeah, I mean, he's that good of a coach. This guy Beilein is from Michigan. He definitely gets the most out of his guys, which is why they've been in a couple championship games since he's been there, yet they haven't put a ton of people in the NBA. He's got, you know, this guy from Germany, Moritz Wagner, which I appreciate. It's funny, you know, it's like the
Can I hear that again, please? Can I hear that again, please?
Exactly, but that's what you're going to hear, right? I equate it to the local L.A. Spanish, you know, either sportscaster or weather person who accentuate, you know, it's like, oh, and today Justin Turner went 2 for 3, and yes, he'll tweet. And, you know, that's kind of what we get from Jim Nance on the broadcast. And, you know, here comes Al-Shabazz, and he passes over to Wagner. Like, really? We really have to do that. But, yeah, that's their star, this guy Moritz Wagner. And there's actually a really good story on Michigan, the first ever Division III, right? Not Division II, Division III, for people that don't follow college athletics. I mean, Division III is typically like your 800 enrollment school,
right?
Tiny, tiny schools, and their second best player, Duncan Robinson, was a Division III transfer to Michigan. It's become one of the biggest stars of the NCAA tournament. So even though they're Michigan and they're close to being one of those sort of blue blood programs because of the Fab Five, and of course their championship with Ramil Robinson and those guys, I mean, that's a really cool story about a kid that, you know, worked his way up truly from the bottom of college basketball.
I was a little surprised that the championship game is not going to be on CBS.
Yeah, this is kind of that first year, you know. Remember, we had sort of the same conversation with Monday Night Football going to ESPN, you know, and it's like, really, Monday Night Football is not going to be on network TV? But I think they've kind of maybe come to the conclusion that hey, everybody's kind of got cable now, you know, and if you got basic cable, you got TBS, you know, that's in the general package. So, I mean, it'll definitely hit ratings a little bit. There's no question about that. But I think that's kind of the point that we're at, and for networks, you know, they're whatever, The Voice or Modern Family or something, you know, it's bigger than anything save Monday Night Football. Save NFL football, I should say. That's the only thing that kind of trumps when it comes to the sports world. But I'm with you. It is weird not to have it on CBS, but we're just old, so what the hell.
Hey, Matt, I didn't want to bring it up, but I did the poll for That sounds bad.
Yeah,
I should finish that.
I mean, you should finish that sentence.
I worked the poll. I did a poll for opening day about ketchup on your hot dog. Yes, please.
Or no,
it's blasphemy. Overwhelmingly, people are okay with ketchup.
I think that's just your followers, Allie. I think you have.
I mean, I'm fine with it.
Go ahead, Kevin.
I love it. I'm fine with the ketchup.
You do. You're Kevin. You're
How dare you, sir?
I mean, listen.
What's wrong with? There's nothing wrong with ketchup.
I replied to your poll, Allie. That you still chop that hot dog into little pieces and eat it with toothpicks while you're at it.
He was coming after my people. He's like, "Oh, what are you, a child?" I'm like, "Man, lay off!"
Wow. It's a terrible combination, and I know. Playing tonight at 6'10" in the middle of that floor, Moritz Wagner, the German that he is, would look down upon you and your stinking ketchup on a hot dog.
I don't care what that dude thinks about my hot dog.
Yes, don't put sugar water on your ketchup already. Put a nice mustard and onion on there. Let your palate breathe.
I just wanted to rile him up a little bit.
All right.
How dare you.
My final question is, at the end of the night, when a championship is crowned, a team is crowned champion.
Your favorite part.
Am I going to hear the goddamn one shining moment again?
One shining moment.
Oh,
yeah.
I couldn't hate that song more.
Oh, I look forward to
it. The ball goes up.
Yeah.
And there you are.
Right?
Oh, my God. I want to take my life.
You can't deny it, Kevin. You're
a shooting star. And then they show a guy shooting a basketball right when they say shooting star. It's crazy how well it's choreographed.
Wonderful.
Stop it.
When you don't get misty.
No!
Misty, huh?
I hate that song.
It's
a light rock love song.
Yes. Mm-hmm. The answer to that is, I mean, look, fine. You want them to do a montage of Imagine Dragons, and then next year they'll do a montage of the Decemberists.
Yes!
We've got to have some staples. We got to have some damn tradition.
Does the staple and the tradition have to be one shining effing moment?
Yes, that's exactly exactly right. You know what, though? I will push back a little bit. You are right in the fact that I wish they still had. I wish they would just pick up an artist and stick with it. Now that they're kind of updating it.
Right.
Oh, now it's Jennifer Hudson, and now it's that. I'm like, come on. It's one shining moment. You don't have to get some started performing. It's a cheesy song. It's ironic.
It's too
and everybody's
cheesy.
Laughing at it now. Let's just roll with it.
That's going to hurt my soul.
It's not. It's going to feel good.
It's going to hurt my soul, dude.
You're gonna think they're going to show Sister Jean. You're going to cross yourself.
It's going to be amazing.
You're going to start crying.
I hope it's Luther, right? It's got to be Luther again tonight.
Oh, dear God. That's just horrible.
Give me Luther.
You can tell Matt Money Smith that he's wrong on any number of topics on Twitter, at Matt Money Smith, especially ketchup. He does love the ketchup argument. And also...
On your hot dog, put it on your fries. That's fine.
And
don't put it on a hot dog.
Also, you can listen to Matt Money Smith with Petros weekdays 2 to 6 on AM 570 LA Sports. Matt, thanks for joining us today. We appreciate it.
You got it. Go Dodgers.
I mean, use that song for the montage, right?
No.
One shining moment.
Yes, it's tradition.
Ugh. 6:52. We're going to talk to the opening act for April Foolishness, Daniel Weingarten, in a second, and find out what that was like for him.
Yeah. What did he say? The biggest crowd he had ever performed for was 300 people?
Yes.
And
this was almost 6,000.
Almost 6,000.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he did really well.
He killed.
Yeah.
He was wonderful.
That's always our fear, is that we're going to pick an opening act, and then they're going to get on stage, and they're just going to panic.
Right.
And not be able to deliver. But he really
Could have done 10 more minutes. He was really
agreed.
Good.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Would you have taken those 10 minutes away from, Allie? What other comedian?
I mean, so many. No, not true at all. Not true at all. I meant he could have done 10 more minutes
head. Yes.
He was so good. He could have just kept going.
Right. Had we had an extra 10 minutes.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
That is what I'm saying.
I knew that. Okay.
Absolutely.
Time for What's Happening. Here's Allie.
I will not be doing any more lottery updates for a long time. Right?
I mean, I bought the ticket.
Me too.
So what am I supposed to do?
What happened?
What else can I do?
It's ridiculous.
And I bought two, so I doubled my chances.
I bought $40 worth, so 20 tickets.
Wow, you had 20 times the chance I had.
20 times the chance you had.
Wow.
Of course, a friend of mine bought $10 of that. But in total, we spent a lot of money.
Yeah. Yeah, we know this is not how it works, people.
But still. Yeah, there was one winning ticket sold for Friday night's $521 million lottery, the Mega Millions. It was sold in Morris County, New Jersey. So if you live there and you bought a ticket, check the numbers because you won. Just an estimated cash value jackpot of $317 million.
Do you think this person is like us, probably, where we don't really pay attention to the lottery because we don't really think we're going to win it? And so we don't really watch or pay attention?
Maybe.
And then, like, for me at least, I'm like, well, I'm just going to listen and see if someone in California won it first.
Yeah.
And then if somebody in the Los Angeles area won it second. Like, before I even look at my lottery ticket.
Right.
That's what I do. And so my question is there possibly somebody that still doesn't know they won?
I hope so. I hope they threw out their ticket.
Right.
And then they don't collect it. And then
right.
the money is ours.
Right.
I believe that's how it works.
And then I was driving to work this morning off the 405, and there's that billboard that tells you what the total is now. It's only $60 million now for this next one.
$60 million?
Yeah. No one wants that.
Right?
Lame. Paltry. Paltry. Yeah.
Why is $60 million nothing? I don't know.
Because we needed over $300 million to care. It's true. So ABC did what we all figured would happen. The network renewed Roseanne. After its highly rated debut, 18.2 million viewers, it's now renewed for a second season, though they're calling it the show's 11th season.
They're just continuing with...
Yeah, exactly.
I know I'm in the minority, but I couldn't... there's no way I could care less about that show. I have zero interest.
Yeah. I think people that loved Roseanne went back for the nostalgia. Absolutely. And if they love Roseanne and they still like what she's doing, they're going to continue watching. And I think a large percentage of people that never liked Roseanne but like her politics are going to watch to prove that a show that has a right-leaning viewpoint can succeed. You know, because you look at the show Last Man Standing, had really good ratings, and ABC pulled the plug, and a lot of people were thinking, that's pretty suspect. What was that all about? So, who knows? I just know that she is...
A delight?
Nope. No, sir. She tweeted some stuff this weekend that I was just like, congratulations, ABC. You got that for another year.
So that's yours.
Congratulations. Stephen Bochco, one of the most prolific creators of television, passed away yesterday. I mean, let me just name some of his shows.
Please.
Hill Street Blues, L.A. Law, Doogie Howser, NYPD Blue. The man just...
And he wrote, like, most of those
incredible
episodes.
Incredible.
Right?
Yeah. He won 4 Peabody Awards and 10 Emmys. The guy was just... I mean, he was a cash cow for NBC, too. Just a really, really talented guy. But passed away. He had been battling leukemia for several years, put up a really hard fight, and his family said... He just gave up. That was it. But 74 years old, that still seems so young. I remember when I was a kid and I'd hear about people dying like in their 60s and 70s. I'm like, well, they had a good run.
Right.
Now I'm like, oh, my God, that's so young. It is madness. Madness, I tell you.
I mean, they hit 60. They're pretty much finished with their lives. Well, that's what I thought when I was a kid.
Let's be honest. Right? I don't know if you saw this. I saw a picture of this over the weekend and it made me laugh. So hard. This guy named Levi Bliss proposing to his girlfriend Allison, and it shows him on one knee proposing, and then the camera pans over and it's a picture of Allison's dad holding a sign that says "Say no." Apparently he's a jokester. He has a very good relationship with his soon-to-be son-in-law. But how great of a dad move is that?
That's just fantastic.
Like, say no. And she looked up, saw it, and just started dying
That's
laughing.
That's fantastic.
I just thought that was so darn
say
cute.
Say no.
Say no. What if he was serious, though? Just
right?
Standing on a hilltop.
Just like, standing right there, like, glaring.
Creepy as hell.
Perched.
Oh, you couldn't wait to say perched. You've been holding that in. Ridiculous. So you're going to Coachella.
Yes.
And you went last year
yes.
when you were supposed to see Beyonce.
Yes.
Then she got all knocked up with twins.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I can't be up there in 110-degree weather strutting my stuff.
And Lady Gaga, who I wasn't excited about, killed it.
Oh, absolutely.
She was great.
She stepped in and absolutely killed. Well, Beyonce is apparently trying to make it really worth your money because she has been scheduling 11-hour days for rehearsing.
Wow.
11 hours. So she's rented out a high-profile L.A. studio booked solely for her, her dancers, choreographers, technicians, and other members of her crew, and 7 security guards patrolling the studio so nobody can sneak in, no one can shoot any video, no recordings whatsoever. It's all going to be a big surprise for Kev Dog. He shows up. He cannot wait.
I mean, she is the only one who we had... about a year and a half notice.
Right.
Because we thought she was going to play last year. So
yeah.
Now everybody had in their mind what they think she's going to do. She really does have to step it way up.
It's a lot of pressure.
Yeah, it is.
Does she bring out Jay-Z?
I mean, yes.
It's what you want.
I mean, don't you think so?
I would think so, but then I also...
Because they're going to tour again.
They're going to tour again. So it could be like a little tease. But until I found out they were touring again, I was like, no, she ain't bringing that cheating ass out. This is all Beyonce all the time. But listen, she forgives him, and I guess I should too. But I don't. Happy birthday, Michael Fassbender, Bethany Joy Lenz, Clark Gregg, and Christopher Maloney. And that's what's happening.
Saturday night was Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness. And thank you again to all the comedians who donated their time on a night when they could be making a lot of money.
Yeah.
They donated their time. Sarah Tiana, Jeff Garland, Doug Benson, Brian Callen, Brad Williams, Adam Devine, Gabriel Iglesias, and the opener, Daniel Weingarten. A lot of money was raised for the Intrepid Fallen Heroes Fund from those of you that bought tickets, and Cedar Sinai, Nick Yu. And we have Daniel Weingarten on the phone right now, and he was our opening act winner and performed. Now, Daniel, you told us last Friday that the biggest crowd you ever performed for before was 300.
Yeah.
This was 6,000.
Yeah, it was a big jump. It was a big jump.
And I thought you did great.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I'm glad it went well. I'm going to be honest. If it didn't go well, I'm pretty sure I would have quit comedy. Because if 6,000 people were like collectively just, nah, this guy's not funny, I really would have reconsidered my entire career.
No, people,
in that moment, so.
People loved you. So many people came up to us after and were like, seriously, where are you finding these openers? You were incredible.
Thank you so much. It's really nice of you to say.
Tell us about your background and how long you've been in comedy and how you came up.
Yeah, no, I grew up here in L.A., and I started doing comedy when I was, like, 19. And I started at the Ha Ha Comedy Club over in North Hollywood. And, you know, pretty much just, like, worked there for, you know, five-minute spots. Like, I would just work kind of, like, texting people, trying to get people to come out to shows. And, you know, I'd work, like, you know, 8, 9, 10 hours for, like, you know, five-minute spots and, you know, just kind of worked at it over the years.
10 hours for a five-minute spot.
Wow.
Yeah, just I would get there at like, you know, at like, you know, 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And then I'd stay there. I'd be there till, you know, 1 in the morning and, you know, work in the ticket booth or DJing and playing music in between comics, like whatever I had to do for time. And they were always really gracious and always gave me that that stage and that opportunity to fail and fail and not be funny until I figured out a way to be funny. It's a lot of time of not being funny before I figure out how to be funny.
How long was it before you actually sort of discovered, oh, okay, this is how it's done or how I could do it?
I guess like a cinch of it, maybe a little light was like 2 to 3 years.
Wow.
So, I mean, like, I think relative to like now, I don't know. I think looking back, if I saw myself like 2 years in now, I'd be like, dude, stop.
Give up.
Cut it out.
But I just fought through the failure, I guess, and found a way through.
I was so impressed, Daniel, with how poised you are, just even off stage. You're just, you've kind of got like that it factor. I don't mean to be blowing you up, but seriously, there's something about you, kid. But did any of the comics say anything to you?
Everyone was really nice. I mean, anyone that I talked to is, you know, complimentary and very nice, which was awesome. But yeah, you sounded like a 1920s Hollywood producer, just with that transatlantic.
It really
accent.
Did.
You got spunk, kid.
I have a cigar and I'm doing jazz hands as I say it too. So
you were incredibly poised though when you walked out on stage too. It didn't seem like it was bothering you at all. Like, this is what I do and I'm going to do it well.
Yeah.
I just tried to, yeah, I mean, I guess I just, like, in that moment, like, well, I just got to tell the jokes, and, like, I've told these jokes before, and now I'm just going to do them here and have fun and just try to enjoy the moment as much as possible, and all your fans are so, you know, so nice and supportive, and it was a really awesome experience. I mean, I couldn't have asked, it couldn't have gone better from, like, my end, just in terms of, like, everyone on your team being nice, and, like, the fans being nice, and the other comics being nice, and the whole thing being enjoyable. It was, like, it was pretty kick-ass.
I do have to tell you, one of the things that's most refreshing about that is that the audience is really there. They know it's for charity, and they know that there are 8, 9, you know, really headlining positions, comedians there, and they just are so happy to be there. You walk out, and they're actually rooting for you, and that's a really nice feeling.
Yeah, which is a nice turn from some nights where you're just like, are they not rooting for me? You know? but no, it was really great. The one embarrassing moment was after the show, because there's like a little game room downstairs where they had like pinball machines, and they had like a golf simulator and I decided to do it. And for some reason, when I went to do that golf simulator, everybody just started crowding around me as if like I was a good golfer, which I am not. And I threw out my back.
No.
I completely just like whiffed. And my back, I didn't say anything, but, like, you know, the Jew inside of me was like, oy vey, that hurt. And, like, it just really got me. And Brad Williams was just like, hey, man, you really went from a high high to a low low real quick there.
Oh, man.
Didn't really last too long. I was like, no, that was embarrassing, and I'm in pain. So, no, it was the whole thing was great.
I'm so happy that didn't happen before you went out on stage. That would have been funny to see you trying to wobble out. Well, I'm glad you had a great time, Daniel. And from our end, you were fantastic as well. We were super happy to have you there as the opening act. And everybody that attended, all the comedians, we were very thankful. And proceeds again benefit Intrepid Fallen Heroes Fund and Cedars-Sinai NICU. Daniel, what are you doing? Are you touring? Where can people see you in the future?
Yeah, so I start touring in May. So I think I start off in Texas end of May. And then I'm doing right now we're booking everything. So about like 25 cities. But if you want to find out any of that information, you could find me on Facebook at Daniel Weingarten. But easiest way to figure it out, because my last name's difficult, you can find me on Instagram at DW Comedy, and all show announcements will be there.
There you go.
That seems easy enough.
Thank you, Daniel. We appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Kevin. Thanks, Allie. Have a great day.
You too.
Too.
That's over. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 22 minutes after 7 o'clock. We need to make an announcement, and this is the guy that we're sending to Russia.
Mm-hmm.
Remember he was qualifying for Rise Against?
Oh, no.
Yep.
We have a winner?
We have a winner, grand prize winner, Michael Gutierrez from North Hollywood. I hope he said his goodbyes to everyone.
Oh,
it's been
no.
nice knowing him. He's going to Russia. He won tickets to see Rise Against in Moscow.
Wow.
So that's craziness, right?
He's waking up on a Monday morning like, oh, pack your bags. You are headed to Russia.
You're going
that's
to Russia.
Amazing.
Yes, so congratulations to him. We have Hall of Famer Luke Robitaille on the phone. Hey, Luke.
Hey, bud. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing really good.
We wanted to talk to you for two different reasons. One is playoffs, which we'll get to in a second. But the other is the strangest rule in the world that allows a guy in the stands to come into a professional hockey game and actually play goalie. And it happened for the Blackhawks. Explain that to us.
I think it's the greatest rule.
You do. But no other sport does it.
So the rule goes as is like in the past, because we can only carry a roster of 23 players and you know, you can't carry three goalies. So they made that rule. I think it came about 2 years ago because it happened a couple times during the season where, you know, you do the morning skate and then suddenly your number one goalie gets sick in the afternoon. So he gets the flu or something like that. So you show up at the game and you only can dress one goalie. And then if he gets hurt during the game, you know, there's no one backing him up. So they created this rule that every team would have to have like a local goalie that could play actually on either team. Like if that happens on either team.
That's the weirdest part. So if the Kings are playing somebody else like Colorado tonight, and Colorado needs a goalie, the same guy would play goalie for Colorado or the Kings if they needed it?
Absolutely.
That's so
that's
weird.
Insane.
I'm not gonna say what we're gonna give him if something happened.
I mean, that's just such a bizarre rule that there's literally a guy sitting in the stands. Does he know before the game? Do you dress him before the game?
Usually, well, if it happened, like it hasn't happened to us, but like it happened with Chicago. If I read correctly, the guy said he got a call. He was sitting at his desk, like doing his accounting business.
He's an accountant.
I think he got a call at 4:30. He's an accountant, and he got a call. He goes, "I was doing paperwork," and he goes, "They told me to come at the rink." And
that's insanity.
Unbelievable.
And then he got in for the Blackhawks, and he made some great saves.
There is 36-year-old Scott Foster who came to the rink as the substitute goalie, would be available to either team should either club have both goalies get hurt. That has happened to the Hawks. He shoots. That is turned in by Foster. Gets a big roar of approval after it. Stopping a dangerous chance. Here's Line A. Put it in front. Two goals. Foster on Stastny. Then Myers is open and shoots it. Two
star of the game from the Blackhawks, number 90, Scott Foster.
The number one player of the game. That's insanity.
Unreal.
That's the weirdest rule in sports. Luke, can he work out? Do you have goaltender coaches work him out? How does that work?
No, you actually never see him. He just shows up. You know, the perks really is he gets to watch all the games for free.
Right, that's awesome.
That's really
I can do that, Luke.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, I should be a backup goalie. Hey,
we might put you up for one game next year if you want to be the goalie.
I mean,
yes.
Nothing happens that day.
I play goalie. No worries, man. I'm good. I'm solid back there. I don't feel like you're buying that. Well, anyway, that's the strangest thing that has ever happened in sports, I think. And I love that rule. And I wish the NBA would use it. The NFL would use it. All right. Coming into the game now, 36-year-old Bob. He's an accountant. He's playing point guard. That would be awesome. All right. Luke Robitaille on the phone with us from the LA Kings. Let's talk playoffs. We have three games left. And how many different teams are jockeying for position that basically are tied in points?
Right now, it's between us, Anaheim, Colorado, and St. Louis.
So St. Louis has 92, Colorado has 93, yeah. The Kings have 94, and the Ducks have 95.
Yeah. So, like, we're looking at it, too. You know, we're obviously trying to get in and be in the top three in our division. But, you know, it's like everyone knows now the way the NHL is. You just got to get in the tournament. It gives you a chance to win the cup. And we feel our team is built to for the playoffs. But you got to get in. So it is a big week.
It is.
They don't come as big as tonight. Like we all feel the game tonight, we got a lot of pressure on it. And we just got to go out there. And for us, the beauty of it is that we still control our destiny. So it's about us winning the games. We don't need to wait for any other team to see what they're going to do.
I mean, the pressure of not only that tonight, but you're also going to reveal the winner of Bark Madness.
Yeah, there's an extreme amount of pressure in there. We can tell everyone is really focused on it. By the way, my wife is really disappointed that her little dog didn't win.
So sorry. Well, here's the thing. If people don't know what Bark Madness is.
Way to bring up a sore spot.
It's a bracket of the players' dogs. And right now it's down to Tanner Pearson's dog, Emma, who's won in the past. So, I mean, come on. And Jake Muzzin's dog, Daryl. His dog's name is Daryl. Oh, Daryl's got to win, though, right? Big old St. Bernard. I'm rioting if he doesn't.
I'm not going to play any favor. I want to influence the voters.
You can't influence the voters.
Voting ended yesterday, so you're going to reveal it tonight. But I'm just saying.
It's done. I thought we were still voting for them.
Oh, Luke, for the love of God.
I expect Luke not to know that. I would be worried if he did know that.
Yeah.
All right, so we play Colorado tonight. That's game one. And then Thursday night and then Saturday night. And that's what everybody's fighting over. It comes down to the final three games of the year.
Yeah, it's going to come down. You kind of almost could see it about a month ago. It was going to come down to the last week, and it is down to the last week. But that's what our guys are. You know, our guys love that pressure. You look at a Drew Doughty or Kopi and Jonathan Quick and Jeff Carr. These guys love pressure, and you can tell they are enjoying playing at this time of the year. So, expect great things from the whole group tonight.
One more question: you said that the team was made for the playoffs. Why? It seems like in hockey, more than any other sport, if you get in the playoffs, you literally can go all the way more than most sports. Most sports, if you're the eighth-ranked team and you're playing the number one team, it pretty much goes that way and the number eight team loses. But for some reason in hockey, in the playoffs, it's not that way.
Hey, you know, it has to do with the way you can match up. Like, when you have Anze Kopitar center and a Jeff Carter and then Adrian Kempe at center, like we know, over a seven-game series, like they're going to have to match these guys night in and night out. And then you got to face Drew Doughty, back there, like every night. And you got to face, Jake Muzzin, Alec Martinez and Dion Phaneuf. I mean, you're going to get hit a lot, and that's why I think we like the matchups on a seven-game series against different teams, and that's what makes our team so special. I mean, sometimes, you're watching football, and it's a one-game situation. It's a little bit different, but on a seven-game series, when you're going to play against the same guys, and you're getting checked every night against the same guys, that's why we have a team that's built right for the playoffs.
I mean, so do you need me to dress tonight or Thursday or Saturday?
Well, let's talk about Thursday. Let's discuss Thursday maybe tonight.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot. We've got Bark Madness. We got a lot going on tonight.
I felt like that was a no from Luke. Luke's being nice, but he's saying no. I'm just saying I'm available.
He just don't call us. We'll call you.
I left it open.
Sort of.
For discussion.
All right, Luke, we appreciate your time. The Kings at LA Kings, and the playoffs are just around the corner. There's three games left tonight, of course, is against Colorado. Thank you for your time, Luke. We appreciate it.
All right, bud. Okay. Bye-bye.
It's time for some great news.
When you wake up, all you hear is bad news. So bad it makes you want to hit the snooze. Kevin and Bean can make that go away. It's time for great news today.
Great news!
All right.
How's everyone?
Say it, Allie.
No, I will not.
Say what
you
wrote.
Have to say
you
it.
You have
now.
To share it with the class.
Yeah, because you just go.
My great news is that song is over. Sorry.
All right, that's not really your great news, though.
Would you like me to start?
Yes, please.
All right, there is a nonprofit crowdfunding website called Donors Choose, and it's amazing because it allows U.S. public school teachers to raise money for classroom projects. I'm talking about kindergarten teachers asking money for craft supplies. You've got science teachers wanting lab equipment, band teachers asking for instruments. Earlier this week, there were almost 36,000 teacher requests on the website. And then all of a sudden, they were all fulfilled in one grand gesture. All 36,000 teacher requests.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it all has to do with a startup company based out of San Francisco called Ripple. They donated $29 million in cryptocurrency to Donors Choose so they could grant every single wish that was on the website. And the funding is being called the largest single virtual currency gift to a charity in history. And the people at Ripple said, listen, we wanted to do this because everyone on our staff had great relationships with teachers. They all had stories about their specific favorite teacher, and they wanted to give back because, my God, for what teachers get paid and what they have to do and how much they are spending their own money for supplies to change kids' lives is just, it's one of the travesties, I think, in our nation. It is just absurd that there is not enough money for these teachers to be paying for these
things. You do have to choose between teaching and money.
Absolutely.
If you're going to teach, you give up on money.
Absolutely. But the representative from Donors Choose, the founder, Charles Best, said, in 18 years of doing Donors Choose, we have honestly never been this excited. I'd say the dream was coming true, except we never had this dream because it would have been too crazy to even say. So congratulations. I mean, that's incredible.
I wish cryptocurrency was a thing, though.
Yeah,
I mean,
that would make this story better.
Is
it going to be sad news when it never gets funded?
How dare you? This is a real, real thing, and all of these teachers are going to get what they asked for.
And guns.
Oh, for the love of God. And that's my great news.
All right. I'm up next. To Hertfordshire, England we go. Now, when we see someone in trouble, we all would like to think that we would be able to help out. Like, Kevin, would you help someone out who was going to jump off a bridge, let's say?
Yeah. I mean, you would hope so.
I would hope so, too, Allie.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know if I could, but I would hope so. Mm-hmm. Would you expect this from kids?
No.
Exactly.
I would think kids would just be scared of the situation and wouldn't want to get involved because they don't.
Well, not Devontae, Sammy, and Sean from Hertfordshire, England, who saw a man with a rope around his neck to jump off.
Oh.
Two of the kids went and grabbed the man, held him until the third kid found another person who is Joanne Strammers, and she took over holding him, and then they got help.
Wow.
So they stopped this man from committing suicide, and now they are being nominated for the National Award for the National Awards from the Royal Humane Society, and they got some special achievement awards from their school. So now these
How
kids.
How old are they?
They are 13, 14, and 12.
Wow.
You know what I was doing when I was 14, 13, and 12?
What?
Throwing rocks at my neighbor, Robbie Joyner.
Yeah, but now these kids can get whatever they want. So if they don't want to eat dinner, they don't want to eat their broccolis, boom, ice cream.
Right.
I saved a life.
Right.
For how long does that work?
Until like at least 17. And that's my great news.
Mine is a random act of kindness. Today after work, a woman writes, as I was driving home, I realized my brakes weren't working. I started to panic and managed to pull over quickly without crashing into anything or anyone. It started to rain and get dark. I'm a medical student, and I have a 19-year-old car. And now I found myself parked right in front of the hospital helicopter pad during traffic. So I knew that I had to move my car immediately.
Oh, man.
As I was struggling to figure out what to do, a middle-aged black man knocked on my car window and asked me if I needed help. I rolled down the window and explained to him what happened. He said it could be that I was out of brake fluid because that happened to his daughter's car. I thanked him for his help, and he left. 10 minutes later, this man came back with a bottle of brake fluid.
Oh.
Not only did he go and buy it with his own money, he helped me open up the hood, put the fluid in, and then he knelt down on the wet ground to inspect the brake seal in the rain. I offered to pay him for the brake fluid. He refused to take my money. As I reached out to shake his hand, which was now covered in grease, from my car, I found out that he once had a daughter who had died in a car accident because of her brakes. And that's why he took so much interest in this woman, and he knew exactly what to do, and it was so important to him. So he stopped, He helped her. He went to the store. He came back. He put it in. Everything.
What an angel.
All from the love of his daughter.
Okay, Kevin.
I need to change my brakes, Pats.
You got to. We got to start with that story. I mean, Kevin.
And that's my great news. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is 7:54. Coming up in the next hour, the woman that jumped on the Easter Bunny and tried to make out, which is just horrific. Can you imagine being that Easter Bunny? 54-year-old woman drunk, jumps on top of you. It's not what you want.
It's probably not what you want.
I don't think so, yeah.
At all?
At all.
Okay.
No.
Got it.
First, Allie is here with what's happening.
Not sure if you've been paying any attention to Eagles of Death Metal frontman Jesse Hughes.
Sure.
And his Instagram postings.
Mm-hmm.
So just to catch everybody up, on Sunday, March 25th, his account posted a cartoon equating gun control to cutting off a man's penis to prevent rape. Not a great comparison, you know, at all. But it was paired with the caption slamming Parkland students as pathetic, disgusting, vile abusers of the dead who took multiple days off school playing hooky at the expense of 16 of your classmates' blood.
That's insanity.
That's one post.
Wow.
In another post, he reposted a doctored image of Parkland student and now activist Emma Gonzalez appearing to show her tearing apart the U.S. Constitution and called her, quote, the awful face of treason and, quote, a survivor of nothing. By the way, that was a fake picture that a bunch of alt-right websites were promoting. It was actually a picture of her ripping up a shooting gun range target. Not the Constitution.
That's but roughly anyone, the same.
Yeah, anyone with a brain would know that unless they were trying to spread propaganda.
Yeah.
He also shared, this is post three.
He's been a shaky dude for a long time. Go ahead.
Yeah, he also shared an Instagram post saying three different pill bottles. One says, our guns aren't going anywhere. Second, there are only two genders. And three, Donald Trump will be your president for 7 more years. So he got some pushback for those posts.
I would assume.
People were like, dude, you were at Bataclan. You saw people getting shot. That's what these students saw. How are you calling these students these names and what is wrong with you? Well, he has deleted all of them and has since come out in his own Instagram post with this.
Recently, I made some posts on my Instagram that did not communicate how I feel about a variety of topics. What I had intended to be a statement about the hijacking by any side of the aisle of the beautiful agenda of a movement of our nation's youth came off seeming like a mean-spirited personal attack and slight of the youth themselves and even a personal attack of its leadership. And I want to be clear, I never intended for that to happen. I was not attempting to impugn the youth of America and this beautiful thing they've accomplished. I truly am sorry. I did not mean to hurt anyone or cause any harm. As someone who's watched their friends shot in front of their eyes and seen people killed that they love, I should have handled this a lot more maturely and responsibly. And I did not do that, and I messed up. And I hope that you're able to forgive me, but please know that I did not mean to do what it seems like it was I was doing.
See, that's one thing, but I was following those posts.
Yeah.
You doubled down, you tripled down, you quadrupled down.
And fighting with a lot of people.
Fighting with people in the comments. Come on, Jesse.
It wasn't a mistake.
No, you meant it, you got called on it, and now your bandmates are probably like, dude, you're out of the band. You need freaking help. You can't be posting stuff like that. And it's not a you need help because I don't agree with your thoughts. You need freaking help because something is making you post these things.
Yeah.
And let's all be honest with one another, Jesse. Gross.
Right?
Right? Not gross. FYF Fest. I mean, was gross because they're, you know, the guy that created it is, you know, alleged sexual abuser. But he's gone now.
Right.
So now it's being taken over. Things are going to be back to great. Have you seen the lineup?
I've not.
Florence and the Machine. Janet Jackson. Who? I mean, come on. St. Vincent, the XX, My Bloody Valentine, Future. Pretty good lineup out there. Very varied. if you will. Very varied.
I'm July not very 21st, interested in Janet Jackson.
Really?
No.
Oh.
Really, you are?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
In her music?
Oh, yeah.
Janet Jackson?
Oh, yeah.
Michael Jackson's sister.
Yeah, very aware of who she is. Rhythm Nation, you kidding me? I loved Janet Jackson.
Hmm.
And she just played concerts, I think, Honda Center and maybe the Greek or the Hollywood Bowl or something. I was watching people's videos that were there. She is
You're the person who
it.
Watches those.
I was like, Janet Jackson. And then I clicked on the Instagram, whatever the hashtag was. Killing it. Doing all the dance moves, singing. She was wonderful. I'd see her for sure. Plus, with Florence and the Machine, who I would go see anyway.
Of course, yeah.
Absolutely. But if you want to go check that out, July 21st and 22nd at Exposition Park here in the great city of Los Angeles. Really? No, to Janet?
I'm not interested.
Here's the thing, and this might anger people. And if it does, I'm sorry. I'd see her 100 times overseeing Beyonce.
Oh, that's insane.
It's not insane.
That's nope. Insane.
I'm not a Beyonce fan.
You don't have to be. You'd rather, 100 times, you would rather see Janet Jackson than Beyonce.
Absolutely.
You're straight crazy.
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Thank you for noticing. Some birthdays for you. Bethany Joy Lenz, Clark Gregg, Michael Fassbender, and Christopher Maloney. And that's what's happened.
This past Saturday was April Foolishness, and we kicked it off. Were you surprised by how happy people were to see this contest, Allie? I was a little bit.
I was, and I was shocked at how many people thought Muggs was going to win it. Everybody that came through the line that we were taking pictures with was like, Muggs, I got you. You're good. You're going to win March Fatness. And I was like, ooh, really?
March Fatness started, of course, on March 1st, and Dave and the King of Mexico and Beer Mug were trying to lose weight, and the loser had to perform Britney Spears' Hit Me Baby One More Time on stage at April Foolishness. And the loser was Muggs.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, he brought the Britney. Am I right? Straight sexy.
Well, thank you, Kevin. That means a lot. You know, I mean, the biggest crowd that I'd ever performed "Hit Me, Baby, One More Time" to was myself in the mirror.
Right.
So going from that to 6,000 people,
a lot. Yeah.
Huge jump up.
Muggs, I will say this. First of all, Christine, producer Christine, ordered the outfit.
Yes. It took her a week and a half to find one.
Nailed it. Everything from the poofs for the hair, the wig, the skirt, the tie, everything.
Yeah.
It was perfection. But Muggs, you literally studied the dance moves up until you went on stage.
Yeah.
It was impressive.
It was. You really put some work into it.
I had to make sure that, you know, my last minute preparations were good to go because I was about to make the biggest career jump of my life.
I'm sorry.
I was about to make the biggest career jump of my life.
And the jump is from what to what?
To sort of well-known as Beer Mug on the Kevin and Bean Show to worldwide fame and celebrity everywhere I go now.
Maybe you should have spent some time putting pins in that wig so it wouldn't fly off of your head.
Yeah, that happens. That happened. I think it added to it, though.
There's a certain sadness about hearing the song, Hit Me Baby One More Time, while a guy is scrounging around on stage to try and find his wig and put it back on.
Yeah.
That was fantastic.
It happened, yeah.
Muggs is standing up about this point. He's really doing the dance. Although a lot of people put some pictures up and, you know, troubling, a little bit troubling. And by this point, his wig was gone.
You know what else happened?
What?
Right when my wig fell off, I was wearing my glasses and I use these to see, believe it or not.
Right.
What?
When I did the headbang.
You use your glasses to see?
Believe it or not.
Believe it or not.
When I did the headbang, my glasses came flying off my head. I was so in the moment as Britney, I didn't even realize my glasses had fallen off.
Oh.
And many people came up to me, they're like, we saw your glasses fly off your head and we were worried that you were going to step on them.
How many people are many?
Probably about two.
Okay.
But here's the funny thing. So after you guys shot me with confetti and Brad failed to, They were cleaning up the stage for Daniel to come out. Mm-hmm. And as they were sweeping up the confetti, they swept up my glasses within the pile of confetti. So wow. I didn't realize I didn't have my glasses until like 10 minutes after I went on stage.
That's like, a man that disappears into his character, right?
The adrenaline rush.
So focused that I was scrounging backstage. I was like, guys, if you guys happen to find glasses, I need those. I left them on stage.
Didn't you tell them what you use them for?
To see.
Believe it or not.
And they took me back, and they had the guys who swept up the stage, and in the trash bin of all the confetti, they pulled out my glasses. I was like, thank God.
Wow.
And you know, I'm glad I didn't smash them because I wouldn't be able to see.
Right. We understand how that works. Now, how could Beer Mug possibly have lost March Fatness? How is that possible?
That's a great point. Because you seem to carbo load a ton, and that's it. Then you wouldn't do much after that.
There was that.
Yeah. I could have amped up my workout schedule and dieting.
You know, the B-Team podcast interviewed Muggs about his plan to lose weight. Mm-hmm. And we found out how Muggs trains. And maybe this has a little something to do with it.
Actually, on Friday, I didn't tell anybody this. I was drinking vodka while I was working out.
What?
Yeah. Hold on.
Why would you want to get drunk? Because I've heard about getting high and lifting weights.
Getting high, yeah.
Because it's for concentration or something?
Yeah. It's concentration. Also, a THC is a good blocker for pain receptor.
So what led you to this?
Exactly that, Omar, and I'm glad you asked because I had no motivation going into any sort of physical activity this weekend.
Now, how do you have no motivation if you're in a weight loss competition with one other person that ends up this past Saturday? What do you need for motivation? What is it that would motivate you?
It was just hard, Kevin. It was just hard to get yourself going after long work days. It's hard to get yourself moving. So I needed substances. I find myself when I'm drunk or stoned.
That's when you really work out?
I feel that I have unlimited, I feel like I'm Superman. I feel like I'm Superman, so. Oh.
Okay, just to clarify.
Yeah.
Okay. You feel like you're Superman.
Right.
You know you're not, right?
I know that. But it makes my body feel 10 times what it is if I'm working out sober.
Uh-huh.
You know, so your plan.
This isn't good, what I'm hearing coming out of his mouth.
So your plan to lose weight was to drink vodka.
Yeah.
And smoke weed.
Yeah.
And then work out.
And let me tell you, it worked.
Did it? Because you were performing as Britney Spears on Saturday. Tell me how it worked.
Well, not in the long run, but that's that day, it really, I went hard. I mean, I woke up the next day. I did like an Instagram story where I was calling Dave out. I did like 30 minutes on a stationary bike followed by like leg raises. And I went. Normally, I would just
Did you run in place?
No, I didn't do running in place.
Oh, that's probably why you lost. Yeah.
But normally, I would do it all half-assed. I went so hard. Woke up the next day and I was just feeling ripped.
Oh, my God.
What? You guys got to. For anybody out there who wants to try.
No. All right, here's some more of the B-Team discussing Moses' brilliant plan.
And it was a very long week for me, I think for all of us last week. And yes. I was just like, I need to unwind, and I need to get motivation to work out. So I started with some vodka sodas, and then I started feeling a good buzz, and then I had maybe a couple joints or two.
Okay.
And then I was And then I was in the mindset.
You had a couple of joints.
Or two.
You're a mess.
Was it a couple or was it two?
Both.
A couple or two. I'm so effed up. Yeah. I'm going to work out.
But it was amazing. I was working out so hard. You should have seen it, like, way harder than I would sober.
That's so Mugs.
And then Friday, I woke up.
I thought that was Friday.
I mean, on Saturday. Yeah, that was Friday.
Yeah, come on.
You're still hyped up, man.
I passed out, dude. And then I woke up again.
What happened?
What's wrong? Why are you guys so like?
Well, you're drinking vodka and you're smoking weed and then you're trying to work out and you lost the weight challenge and yet you're 100% convinced you did the right thing.
Listen, did you get down on Barry Bonds when he was smashing home runs in the major leagues with steroids? Right,
are you equating Barry Bonds with yourself?
Absolutely.
And are you equating vodka and weed as steroids?
Hey, it's a performance enhancing drug in my book. Vodka and weed.
Not the dudes I know.
So how'd that go for you?
Well,
pretty good.
I did dress up like Britney Spears and performed in front of 6,000 people.
Mm-hmm. You nailed it.
Performed in quotes, question mark. But yeah, I did pretty well.
So was it two or a couple?
A couple.
Some jobs you can just you can size it up and you can just say to yourself, I would be terrible at that job.
Okay.
This would be not a job that I could keep more than a couple days. And that's, for me, that's a costume character.
Really?
Costume characters at birthday parties and stuff, because I feel like there's a lot of little kids that are dicks. There's a lot of adults that are dicks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like a Santa in a mall. Who wants that job?
Yeah, you're at the mercy of a lot of people, for sure.
Right. And you have to behave because you're representing someone else, basically.
Sure.
So I played this audio first thing this morning, but a 55-year-old woman got drunk and, basically tried to have sex with the Easter Bunny. I mean, that's basically what happened. Here's the story.
A trip to Richland Carousel Park in Mansfield is like taking a step back to a simpler time when life moved at a slower pace.
We focus on the children. That is our main focus, is to provide a good time for children and for families.
So they had a line, and they had an Easter Bunny, and everybody was standing in line waiting to get their picture taken with the Easter Bunny until...
The operators of Carousel Park thought they had a nice promotion to get families through the turnstiles on Saturday. A chance to pose for photos with the Easter Bunny. But keep an eye on 54-year-old LaDonna Hewitt of Mansfield.
Yeah, she was drunk, and she decided that she needed some alone time with the Easter Bunny.
Yeah.
Yep.
A little gyrating on the bunny, a little grinding.
Right?
According to witnesses, Hewitt was drunk, grabbed the person in the rabbit costume in what they call inappropriate ways, and made lewd comments, all in full view and within earshot of families at the indoor park. One of the witnesses decided to call Mansfield police.
Now, she was grinding on him. She, at one point, it looks like, I just posted the video, or I'm going to post the video on my Twitter, at the Kevin Ryder. Looks like she reached down between his legs.
Oh, no.
Yes. I mean, she was really...
looking for the carrot. Is that what we're saying?
Yes, that's what we're
Got
saying.
Got it.
We received a report from a citizen, an unusual report from a citizen that called us to the Richland Carousel Park of a intoxicated female doing some lewd acts on the Easter Bunny.
Now imagine the guy or your girl in the Easter Bunny outfit.
Right.
You're there as the Easter Bunny.
She's like, dude, I just want to get paid for today and go home.
I'm miserable, but oh, look, the line's not that long. This is not, I can make it. I can see the finish line. And then this woman happens.
Witnesses say LaDonna Hewitt seemed oblivious to how inappropriate her behavior was in a family setting.
As soon as you think you hear it all, and this obviously this report puts it up to the top where I've never heard of somebody performing those type of acts on the Easter Bunny. And, you know, obviously the environment at the Carousel Park is family-oriented, and obviously we wouldn't recommend anybody intoxicated to go there.
Witnesses say LaDonna Hewitt compounded her trouble when she then decided to ride a horse on the carousel here in Mansfield. When Mansfield police officers arrived...
So they weren't there yet. They still hadn't arrived after the Easter Bunny accosting.
She still had stuff to work out of her system.
Right.
Hewitt was still on the carousel, and witnesses reported she was acting in a way that can only be described as lewd.
On a stationary horse.
Well, sure.
Officers say the 54-year-old Hewitt had slurred speech, bloodshot eyes, was unsteady on her feet, and her breath smelled of alcohol. She was arrested for public drunkenness.
I mean, come on. How much must it suck to be a costume character?
It can't be easy.
Chip, you've done some of this.
It's interesting.
In a lot of different places.
Yeah, in a lot of different capacities in a few years. And it's a weird psychology because people love to tell you, I know you're a person in a costume. And they'll make comments and they're like, is it hot in there? But at the same time...
Wait, why do they feel the need to do that?
It's weird. But at the same time, I think because you have a static face... There's that still that disconnect that that's not a person. I can do whatever I want to that person.
Oh, what? So yeah, that's where that comes
so
from.
So it's like a duality of between I know you're human but you're not. So I've been in situations where I've gotten groped doing it. I've gotten beat up. I got jumped once by like three college guys.
And what?
Yeah. Like it's and it's
and you were in costume.
I was in costume.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, good lord!
Yeah. You don't expect
and
to get jumped.
There's great things about like when the kids are awesome, it's awesome, and you know, and parents can be awesome too, but
parents can also be nightmares,
exactly.
And kids can be nightmares.
You know, grab, punch, all this. Like That's
you got punched all the time.
It was common. Like, it wasn't, I wouldn't say it was an everyday.
If you got punched, you would not be surprised.
Yeah.
Wow.
And, yeah. And for instance, so the three college guys, I was young, and I was in a costume, but it was very little, because I could take care of myself, but I happened to be in something that had very, very little visibility,
mm-hmm.
and a giant dome.
My real life.
Yeah, your real life. And they just laid me out, and there's nothing you can do about it. Like, you can't fight back because
see, that's where that's where I feel like I would get fired.
Right? Yeah.
Because if somebody punches you.
Trust me, I wanted to. I could.
Of course. You could have.
Yeah. But
regulated. I'd like to have seen you regulate in a costume. All right, 1-800-520-1067. If you've ever had one of these jobs, imagine being at Chuck E. Cheese. Imagine that with all the kids. I feel like kids' parties would be the worst.
Because
kids just seem to, they already have no filter.
Yeah.
And then they grab, punch, hit. They find that funny.
And then adults and alcohol. If alcohol gets involved, that is a whole.
Then it's a whole another problem. Yeah. Well, that's what this woman was—a 54-year-old woman accosting the Easter Bunny. If you've had this type of job, give us a call 1-800-520-1067, or you can also text us at that same number and tell us: is it a good job? Did you enjoy it overall, Chip? Would you want to do it again?
I mean. It was a living at the time.
So you didn't enjoy it enough as a job that it's not something you would go into on purpose if you didn't need the money.
Definitely
I assume that's why everybody's doing it. Assume why that's why the mall Santa is doing it. That's why all kids'
It can be good money.
It can be, okay.
It's just going into it, you know things are going to happen.
Things are going to happen.
Yeah.
All right, and that's what we want to hear about.
Stuff's going to go down.
1-800-520-1067. We'll talk to you next.
Oh, man.
I mean, whatever, right? We're going to take your calls on what a job it is to be a costume character. It seems like it would be a bad one. We have Heather on the line from Whittier. Hi, Heather.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for listening and holding on. You were what, where?
I was Chuck E. Cheese in La Mirada in high school.
And you loved it?
That's not how I would describe it.
Okay, what happened?
So, it was a job.
Right.
I was doing the Chucky biz for the birthday song, and I think it was a party of maybe like 8-year-old boys. And the parents, you know, Chuck E. Cheese allows parents to drink, so it gets a little crunk sometimes in there. And the boys started screaming, like, Chucky's a girl, and punching me in the boobs. And I had like really long hair with I had some braids in the back, and they were like pulling my braids, and I could see the parents just drinking their cheap Chardonnay, and so at some point I was trying to get them off, and I ended up pushing a kid by his face off the chair.
Nice.
I fell backwards.
Right.
And I guess that's when I crossed the line for these parents, and it became outrageous. And that was it. I had enough. I took that head off, which promptly made the little girls' party next to us cry and freak out. And I quit. I was like, I can't be assaulted. I'm like 17.
Yeah, I think laying that kid out must have made the parents go, huh? Deserved it, but no.
It was the best part of that job.
All right, thank you for the call, Heather. We appreciate it. Your calls and texts. Next at 1-800-520-1067, right after Incubus on K-Rock. And we're talking about being a costume character and what kind of job that must be. After the Easter Bunny was accosted, a woman literally pretty much sat on top of him and just... The article says came on to him.
Right.
But it was a little more than that.
People in the comments on Twitter after you posted the video at Kevin Ryder are saying... At the Kevin Ryder. Mm-hmm. Are saying... The bunny was kind of into it.
Well, that's my... First of all, there's no way the bunny was into it. Did you see her? I mean, come on. Second of all, how do you act as a costume character? You have to behave, right?
Easter bunny can't
take that woman and throw her to the ground.
No.
Easter bunny.
Yeah, needs that check at the end of the day.
So he or she is probably just frozen. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But not good.
It just seems like a terrible gig. Let's talk to Sandra in San Dimas. Hello, Sandra.
Hi.
Thanks for listening. Tell us where you worked and how that was.
I worked at Chuck E. Cheese, and every now and then I would get
beat up. I really loved the job, but I didn't love the days that I would get beat up. So, like, one time...
I mean, here's the thing about that, is that most people, you either like your job or you don't, but you don't have every other day I get beat up.
Yeah, that's insane.
Yeah. Ever.
Well, I'm an editor now, so we're used to abuse, but... But, yeah, back in the day, I loved it, because I got to play video games, and I got to dance around, so that was fun, but I got... When I would get beat up, it'd be kind of rough. There was these pack of feral kids who were chasing me around.
Feral kids.
Yeah. And I attempted to run into my little Chucky closet. And
is there a video of this? I would pay anything for that.
I
would pay anything for that video.
Well,
Chucky keeps running from kids.
Yeah.
So you didn't make it to the Chucky closet this time?
Well, not yet. So as I was running, my shoe came off, my costume shoe.
Oh, no.
And so then you could see, like, my little Converse underneath. So I attempted to put that shoe back on, and in doing so, my head almost came off. So it's kind of a hot mess. Then I finally got myself put together. I ran to the door. I opened it, and I attempted to close it, but, like, the big leader of the pack, she held it open.
Oh, no.
I was trying to close it, and I was starting to get, an asthma attack coming on. So I leaned up to her, and I said some words that shook her and allowed me to close the door.
All right.
Oh, my.
So I escaped.
Nice.
Good Lord.
Who has to deal with that at work?
Chucky.
Yeah.
Chucky. Thank you very much.
It was an Almani, too, so.
Thank you for the call, Sandra. We appreciate it. All right. That's a terrible, terrible story. Joel in Alhambra. Hi.
Hey, what's up, party people?
Man, this job seems rough. Well, you were a costume character where?
So I was in high school. I was a costume character at SeaWorld.
Okay.
And actually, I really enjoyed it for that summer and a year and a half there, except for one incident. SeaWorld has a bar. And, of course, as you're seeing, there's a theme of drunkenness going around. So I'm here with the kids. I'm Pete the Penguin. I'm having fun. And I see this guy and a whole group of people coming through, and he's just drunk. He's stammering. So he pushes a couple kids, and he grabs me, and, the costume has a big old helmet on its head. And what ends up happening, the helmet goes all the way around, and it crushes my nose.
Oh,
so
no.
I start bleeding, and I wasn't really behaving. So he walks away. I turn around. Here I am as Pete the Penguin. I kind of hobble all the way to him. I grab him, and I bring him close to my helmet, and I say, hey, what the F, dude? Like, there's kids here. That's just not cool. So my escort had to get me, and he's like, hey, what's going on? What's going on? We got to go back. So we have to go back to our thing. He filed a complaint. A week later, my boss turns me into the office and goes, hey, okay, so you have two choices. Either you quit or we fire you.
Wow.
Pete the Penguin.
Wow, that's
Pete
bogus.
The Penguin, yo. But that was such a cool job. I mean, we're only outside for 30 minutes. You get a 45-minute break. It was really cool, but, not when people hit their helmet.
Yeah, that does seem like maybe that's a negative that you don't want to endure. All right, thank you for the call. We appreciate that. Let's go to Richard from Irvine. Hi, Richard.
Hey, how's it going, party people?
Good, thank you. Thanks for listening and holding on. Where did you work?
Hey, I worked at Toys R Us. I actually went out to bunk Toys R Us, and I've been Jeffrey and Kiki, his sister, at multiple locations when I was in my early 20s. And unlike most people, I got beat up. I've gotten, poked and pushed against, but I never had any kind of problem.
I'm having trouble understanding you.
Yeah, your phone's a little...
Can you hear?
Oh, that's better. Now?
That is better, yeah.
All right, sorry. Yeah, so I've been in my early 20s
okay.
Doing that. And, sorry.
It's okay.
My early 20s, I was doing that. Oh. And, I never had any of those problems.
All right. Oh, never had any of the problems.
Yeah.
Sorry, Richard.
Your phone's a little jacked. Sorry.
He just loved looking at the hot moms, he said, basically.
Oh.
That was what worked for
okay.
him. Let's go to Kim in Pasadena. Hi, Kim.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So I worked at a popular amusement park.
Mm-hmm.
I'll leave it there.
Good enough.
And there were many stories, but the one I chose to share was when I just had enough. You get kicked, you get punched and hit and spat on and pinched every day. And I just had enough. And this one high schooler decked me across the head.
Mm.
And I saw the fist come down, so I grabbed it and I hollered, I've had it!
Oh.
my manager got involved and security came and carted the kid off and the parent was there and the dad was there. And so my manager said, don't press charges. The DA is going to drop it. The DA is not going to do anything. Just go for the apology. And so I said, okay, fine. Let's see if he apologizes. So he was in security with his dad and he was denying it when I walked in behind him. And he goes, I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything. I didn't hit anybody. And then he turned around and they said, well, this is the employee that says you hit them. And he goes, I didn't. Oh, my God. I hit a girl.
Oh, dear.
Oh, wow.
And the dad just looked at me. He's like, you're so dead. He got in trouble.
Oh, my God. That is not a job that I feel like I would ever be able to do.
Mm-mm.
God bless you, Kim.
I don't do it anymore.
That's good. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:51. Adam Carolla come up just after the top of the hour. First, Allie is here with what's happening.
Remember when the guys from Super Troopers were like, hey, let's just crowdsource this. Make Super Troopers 2. And they wanted about $2 million.
And they got...
well over that in 26 hours.
Yeah.
So people were like, we need this in our lives. Well, guess what? It is happening. It's in theaters April the 20th.
Yay!
Super Troopers 2. Here's the synopsis of the movie. When a border dispute arises between the U.S. and Canada, the Super Troopers are tasked with establishing a highway patrol station in the disputed area. Oh, my God. I cannot wait for
yeah,
Super
in Canada.
Troopers.
Yeah, I'd be at Super,
two.
Actually.
Have you at Super.
Yeah.
Excellent. If you would like to go to a K-Rock advanced screening of Super Troopers 2, I would like for you to call right now, 1-800-520-1067, and callers 20 through 24, you are all going to get a pair of passes to our advanced screening. I mean, that movie is
yes.
going to be great.
Agreed. Can't wait.
Going to get high? Check out Super Troopers 2.
It's a solid
into that
plan.
Sort of thing. That's some good stuff. A lot of moviegoers this weekend went to see Ready Player One. It debuted at number one with a strong $41.2 million to top off the weekend's box office. That was followed by the debut of Acrimony. That brought in $17.1 million, followed by Black Panther bringing in $10.8 million. Still the fifth best-selling movie of all time domestically and could potentially pass Jurassic World to take over the fourth spot by the end of the week.
Wow.
So that's just incredible. Coming in at number four, I Can Only Imagine, followed by Pacific Rim Uprising, Sherlock Gnomes, Love, Simon, Tomb Raider, A Wrinkle in Time, and Paul, Apostle of Christ. Speaking of Christ, Kevin.
Yes.
I am shocked you didn't watch Jesus Christ Superstar last
Jesus.
Night. You love musicals.
I mean, I never saw that ever.
Really?
Does that make me bad?
I would think you'd run across it at some point.
I mean, I was
one
just not interested.
One of your kids doing that in a school play?
Nope.
No?
Mm-mm.
Mm. Wow.
Had I been forced into it, I would have watched it.
Okay. All right. Okay. You were saying over there that you saw that it had incredible numbers?
Yes. Dominated last night, I think.
Yeah. I mean, Sunday night, Easter.
Right.
You don't want to watch the Ten Commandments. That's some boring-ass stuff, right? So Jesus Christ Superstar.
You were totally
gathered
into
the
it.
Kids. I was so into
really?
It.
Really?
It was John Legend as Jesus. And then you've got Sarah Bareilles, who is just one of my favorite singer-songwriters, as Mary Magdalene, whose voice was phenomenal. But the guy that played Judas, and now I can't remember his name, he was Aaron Burr in Hamilton. Dixon something Dixon Anthony Michael Paul Dixon. No,
I'm sure that's not it.
I'm ruining this because this man, Brandon Victor Dixon.
There you go.
He was Judas. And listen, if you know the story of Judas, you don't root for Judas.
Right.
But he was so good that I was like, he could turn this around. He was so wonderful. It was. It
you
was,
thought the story was just being ad-libbed as they went?
Right. I'm like, maybe he won't. He won't.
I'm rooting
you know,
for you.
Become a traitor and turn him in. Yeah, it was phenomenal. But Alice Cooper as King Herod.
Yeah.
What? Phenomenal. It was great. And I do like me a good musical.
Mm-hmm, sure.
I'm a fan of what they do with these live musicals. This one though blew me away.
Is that right?
Absolutely blew me away. It was wonderful. So I didn't go to church. I just watched that. So if my
so that counts.
If my mom asks. Be like, Mom, spend some time with Jesus, Mary, Judas? The whole crew was
rooting
there.
For Judas.
I will not tell her that. Are you kidding? That won't be a good situation. This is a crazy story that we talked to Harvey Levin over at TMZ about. Stan Lee's former business associate did something really odd.
Allegedly.
He went to Stan's personal nurse back in October with a forged document giving him authority to order blood samples from Stan Lee. And a source claims that it was several vials, enough to make Stan Lee really dizzy. So that's quite a bit of blood. No word as to exactly what he wants to do with the blood, but people believe he wants to commission pens that will have ink substitute being the blood. So you would have Stan Lee's blood in a pen, and he would sell these. And this is allegedly the same guy that took $300,000 from him and then bought a condo for $850,000.
Man, oh man.
Just a sad, sad situation.
That's alleged.
Right, we
all
said that.
All alleged. Sad situation all around. That, I mean, elder abuse is so prevalent in our society, but to know that Stan Lee, who has so many people around him, there's no telling how many people are in on this and yeah. how he can't trust anyone. It's just so, so sad.
I don't know anyone that's a Stan Lee fan that would buy something like that, but I assume there are people out there that would.
And if it was released, you would think that maybe he had okayed it. But since this story came out, you're yeah. like, whoa, slow down. This is all crazy talk.
That's too bad.
It is too bad. Remember our conversation about the Easter Bunny that we just had a little while ago?
Yeah.
So Miley Cyrus posted some pictures on Instagram. I think it was a Vogue shoot or one of those magazines. And in one of the pictures, she was over the Easter Bunny's lap and he was spanking her. And she was wearing a one-piece bathing suit with matching high heels. And people were none too happy with Miley Cyrus.
Which I assume is what she wanted.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
People were upset, what they termed sexual in nature, because Easter, quote, is the day of Jesus. Can we have one day with you having your clothes on? Is Easter the day of Jesus, first of all? The day is Resurrection Sunday.
Right.
We made it into a bunny and eggs. Why does a bunny have eggs? Why is no one tackling the tough issues?
That is a great question.
Is all I'm saying. Let Miley Cyrus get spanked by an Easter bunny and move on with your life.
Everyone will be fine.
Everyone's going to be fine. And if I had my druthers, I would say, you know what? Miley is just the kind of person that Jesus would want to hang out with. That's what he did. Allegedly. I'm just going to keep
that's alleged.
Allegedly in this.
You can say anything you want if you say it that way.
Absolutely. All right, some birthdays for you. Some really great people. Right here. Thank you, Chip. Christopher Maloney, Clark Gregg, Bethany Joy Lenz, Michael Fassbender. That's what's happening.
We welcome back our old friend, Adam Carolla, to the program. Hey, Adam.
Hey, man.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you. Tell me about recording a live podcast and doing it in virtual reality. How does that work?
You're talking about April 21st at the eSports something. Is that what we're talking about?
Yes.
The eSports Arena in downtown Santa Ana.
Yeah. I have no
you don't
idea
know.
How okay. we got booked at that place. It seemed cheap and not too far away, and we haven't done a live podcast in a while, so we don't have to get on an airplane.
All right, so
no,
wait.
So wait.
So it says Adam Carolla Show will produce its first taping of the show in virtual reality, and then it says come on down and be a part of Carolla Show history, where you can download it later and see yourself at the show in 360 virtual reality vision and the Carolla Show app, and you don't know anything about that.
I've never had a discussion with a human being about that, but it sounds like a premiere experience,
right.
And I would encourage anyone within the sound of our voice to come on down and experience that. And now color me excited because I'm pumped up about being a part of this.
I love it when we give Adam news. Remember when we thought he was like hosting some gymnastics event
in
another state?
Yeah, and it turned out he was, didn't it? Some weird stuff. Adam, have you ever tried virtual reality? Have you ever got the head, you know, the headset?
I'm disappointed with just reality. Mm-hmm. I don't even want to try virtual reality. Like, there's a lot of things I think about that they have now. Like, I see mattress commercials all day long where it's like, we have memory foam. This mattress has memory. And I'm like, I don't think I want my mattress to have a memory. There's a lot of stuff that goes on that mattress that I'm not proud of.
Oh, dear.
So I'm not really interested in being ushered into the future. But by the way, I'm scared to talk now because, yeah, you're right. Every time we speak, you tell me something about my life.
Right.
I was unaware of, and I could only imagine us doing a show in a few months, and you're like, sorry to hear about Lynette and the affair. And I'm like, oh, I'm plugging my gig at the Irvine Improv. And you're like, yeah, you got to check out TMZ.
Oh, no.
So Saturday, April 21st at the Esports Arena, Adam knows he's going to be there.
He just doesn't know what's going to happen.
He just doesn't know about any of the virtual reality stuff.
Or maybe it'll just be my avatar, which which we use Norm MacDonald for.
And maybe they're going to wear one of those suits with all the little contacts on it, and then you can dance around. Does that sound like something?
Do you think that's going to happen, Kevin?
I've always wanted to wear that ping pong ball suit,
right?
The suit that has 1,000 ping pong balls. But what if? What if, Kevin, if you just got that ping pong ball and you said, I'm going to take a break, and you went outside to smoke a cigarette, and a van filled with Chinese ping pong champions who were super high were in the van and just saw you and went, oh, my God. And they all got their paddles out and just chased you and beat you mercilessly.
What?
Did you ever think about that?
No.
Possibility?
Of course
not. Well, you should.
To be honest, I've thought about
you
that.
You have?
Yeah, yeah.
Who would have ever thought about that possibility? What's wrong with you?
Rolling on peyote. They also finish a huge international ping pong tournament. And to celebrate, they drop peyote. The band broke down. You stepped out. And they looked at you as essentially a ping pong ball monster.
Right, but Adam, what if they looked at me like the king of ping pong? What if they worshiped me? What if they dropped to their knees and worshiped me?
Yes.
Right?
No, you're right. It'd be the greatest tale ever told. They take you back to their land.
Right.
And they'd give all their wives to you to have sex with. It'd be awesome.
Right.
A professional ping pong players don't have wives, Adam. I mean.
Oh, you're a good point. You could have sex with their mothers.
Yay, Kevin.
That's not what I'm looking for.
It'd be like that book, Where the Wild Things Are, where the kid gets dropped off on the island with all the monsters and becomes the king.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Rather than me getting chased and beaten up by them, maybe I am the king of ping pong.
Okay.
I don't know how we got to this point.
This is very odd.
But that's the difference between the way you and I look at life.
Yeah.
I look at being beaten to death by 1,000 Asians high on peyote, and you look at it becoming the king of the land.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
I mean, come on. That's the way I would prefer to look at it. You can see Adam.
No, you're right.
You can see the Adam Carolla Show live podcast. It is Saturday, April 21st. We don't know what's going on with the virtual reality yet, but it's going to be a part of it, and you'll enjoy it, and Adam will enjoy it as he learns what it is and how he's going to do it.
And he usually has really cool guests. Do you know who's going to be down there?
I don't know who's coming out.
What is wrong with you?
Hey, just let me just run something.
You have a great guest.
Let me just run something by you. You pitched to come on the show, right?
Yeah, but that was my people.
Oh,
you
I
know
see.
Me.
But you don't have any information.
Mark and Brian guy.
You're a Mark and Brian guy. I hear you. Okay, well, that makes sense. You can get your tickets to see the Adam Carolla Show live podcast at adamcarolla.com and see the Ace Man talking about being the king of ping pong or whatever this is going to be talking about. Adam, you're the best. Thank you for calling in. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:37. Allie is here with a look at what's happening.
Ryan Reynolds remains the best. Just in case you ever start thinking, is is he still the best? Yes, he keeps doing things like this. So there was an article from the IB Times India, and the title says, Deadpool's Ryan Reynolds and wife Blake Lively struggling to spend quality time. And then it says, the past few years, Ryan Reynolds has been working out of town while Blake stays home with the kids. The distance between them has taken its toll. So he retweets that tweet and the article and then says at the top, I wish I could use a little more me time. He's just, he's so savage. He's so funny on Twitter. And he just, he gets it, you know? He just gets it.
Agreed.
Oh, I enjoy him to no end. Just good stuff.
I could use some me time.
I could use some me time. I wish we were struggling to find quality time together. Oh, well, if you're worried about Beyonce performing those two weekends at Coachella because, you know, last time she had to cancel because she had two babies cooking inside of her, right?
Wait. Seems like a reasonable.
She had twins, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Phew. I'm not sure they were cooking, but yeah.
That's what they do.
Okay.
It's a bun in the oven. That's where they get it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, don't worry because she is now doing 11-hour days. She is rehearsing for 11 hours straight at an LA studio. It's booked solely for her, her dancers, choreographers, technicians, and the rest of her team. And just so nobody finds out what they're going to do on stage at Coachella, she has 7 security guards patrolling the studio inside and out. So the rehearsals remain top secret.
Love it.
I love it,
too. I always look forward to what people are going to do at Coachella. And a lot of times you guess, like, okay, who have they worked with in the past?
Right. Who will they bring out?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So will she bring out Jay-Z?
Who knows?
But she's also worked with a lot of other people. So.
Yeah, she has. She could basically do every song just with the special guest that would be a headliner.
Yeah,
that's amazing. Yeah. Big stuff. Stephen Boschko, one of the most prolific creators of television ever, has passed away at the age of 74.
I've watched a tremendous amount of his shows.
I mean, it seemed like everything he did was a hit, from Hill Street Blues to L.A. Law, Doogie Howser, NYPD Blue. He basically just wrote and brought us great television. So,
like he would write the whole episode pretty much by himself.
Yeah, no big deal.
It's sort of rare.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just nuts. I am really excited to watch the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Class of 2018.
When is that?
It's going to be April 15th is when the induction ceremony is, but then HBO is going to air the ceremony on May 5th. But we now know who's going to be bringing out some of the inductees. So I guess they would be inductors.
Mm-hmm.
Bringing out the induct, whatever.
Sure.
Brandon Flowers from The Killers is going to be bringing out the Cars, which is huge because that was one of his favorite bands growing up.
Imagine that. One of your favorite bands growing up. Now you get to induct them into the Hall of Fame.
Into the Hall of Fame. Like, this is mind-blowing to me.
That's cool.
Ann Wilson of Heart is going to do the honors for the Moody Blues. Alabama Shake singer Brittany Howard will induct Sister Rosetta Tharpe. And Nina Simone is going to be welcomed in by Mary J. Blige. Still no word on who will induct Dire Straits. And it was previously announced that Howard Stern will welcome in Bon Jovi into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Why no word on Dire Straits?
I don't know. That's odd.
What's happening?
I don't know. Do you have the whole list except for them?
Yeah, it literally says still no word on who will induct Dire Straits.
Maybe they don't have anyone yet. Seriously, people, who likes them? Who likes Dire Straits?
And the chicks were free, right? You'd think you'd be lining up for those guys. What were their other songs?
I don't know any other songs by them.
The Walk of Life? Is that the same song I just said? Do the Walk of Life.
No, it's not the same song.
It isn't.
No.
So that's 2 songs.
All right.
Then welcome to
the
hall.
That's all we got.
Well deserved.
I feel like you should introduce them.
Oh, dear. And if you've noticed, I haven't been giving you the updated numbers for the Mega Millions lottery.
Yeah.
Because there was one winning ticket sold on Friday night's Mega Millions.
Son of a.
That was sold in Morris County, New Jersey. That. Yeah. That lucky bastard. Just won the cash value of $317.2 million just for buying a lottery ticket. No word on whether they bought more than one and upped their chances of winning.
Sure. Doubled it.
Doubled it. I'm not really sure.
Do you literally take a check to the bank? I don't mean to be stupid, but $317 million is insanity.
It is.
I don't know how you would do that.
I don't either. I take it in cash. Probably fives and tens.
I take it in cash.
Small bills. Yeah. What do you do? Do you open up a totally different account and they just drop it all in there?
I can't imagine that your regular. I don't know. I don't know.
It's a problem I want to have.
Agreed. Same.
I want to be able to figure this out with the California lottery.
Agreed.
So I won't be able to tell you about another big drawing probably for another 3 months or so. I'm sorry, you guys. Oh, something I really look forward to.
It's only worth $60 million now. Who wants that?
You know? Losers. Who needs that?
It's ridiculous.
Absolutely. And again, apologies, Kevin. I haven't been keeping up with your Meghan Markle, Prince Harry royal wedding.
Oh, you know what? I don't care about that at all.
Are you sure?
Yeah, because, man, is that dull.
Well, the London Sun is reporting that Meghan Markle and her future groom, Prince Harry, have to follow strict protocol on their upcoming wedding.
Mm.
They can't take a single bite of food after Queen Elizabeth II has finished her meal.
Too.
I just don't care at all.
But don't you care that those two aren't able to eat if Queen Elizabeth is I'm full.
See,
I'm no longer hungry.
That's part of what is super annoying about that.
That's crazy, right?
Yes, that's stupid.
Because I'm thinking Queen Elizabeth isn't going to be like hammering home the
meals. She's going to take a couple snacks and then everybody's going to go hungry because she's a bitch.
Wow. Wow. That took a real turn. I wasn't ready for that.
Look.
Yeah.
That's real talk right there, man.
Okay.
Right?
All right. Well, apologies. To anyone that loves Queen Elizabeth II.
I'm not one of them.
No, you are not.
Back to you.
And, of course, Friday afternoon, no shock, but ABC did what we all thought would happen. They renewed Roseanne for a second season, even though they're calling it the show's 11th season. So, congratulations.
I love John Goodman and everything he's done, but
he's lovely.
I just have no interest in that show.
I love both Beckys.
Sure.
Because there are two.
Sure.
Love the other kid on it.
Everybody, but...
Yeah, I never watched it, to be honest. But a lot of people did.
Yep.
A lot of nostalgia.
A lot of people are now.
Roseanne. Yes, absolutely. 18.2 million?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Crazy.
I mean, it's no Jesus Christ Superstar Live, right? Who's with me? Give a call right now if you
enjoyed
that.
We're not looking for people who watch
that,
no.
It was really good. Some birthdays for you. Actors Michael Fassbender, Clark Gregg, Christopher Maloney, and Bethany Joy Lenz, and that's what's happening.
I love Clark Gregg so much.
He's so lovely.
He's so good. Happy birthday. The SoCal Helpful Honda Dealers. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, brand new internet roundup. You were banned from someplace.
Oh.
Which I may have a story or two about.
I'm sure
it's possible.
You do.
And one of the best television shows on TV, I guess that's where they are, is called... I'll start that again.
Okay.
Legion
mm-hmm.
is one of the best shows on television.
Where can I find it? On
FX.
TV?
Tomorrow night on FX.
Okay.
And tomorrow morning we have the star, Dan Stevens, on the show. It's a Marvel Entertainment TV show.
Uh-huh.
It's a superhero TV show. But it's the weirdest thing you've ever seen.
Really?
And it's awesome.
Okay.
And I don't understand it at all, so I'm glad we're having Dan Stevens in so I can ask him questions about it. That's tomorrow morning on an all-new show.